My name is Michael Bailey, and you're listening to the EDP Formula One podcast. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the EDP Formula One podcast. After the penultimate race of the season, we only have one more race to go, probably two more podcasts, and then it's winter time. The season is almost done, but it is so exciting thanks to those double points and everything else. Brazil is done and dusted. Let's talk about it with Richard Baxter and Kyle Cumbers. Good evening, gentlemen. How are we?
Good evening. Very well.
Kyle's good. Chipper. Richard, you well?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you.
Good man. Looking well? Yeah, I'm good, thank you very much. International break has done me wonders. but that's football, so we'll steer away from that. What we will do is focus on Brazil, which was a fascinating race, really. And it feels like a long time ago already, I must admit. Even having known the result and watching it back on a rerun, I thought when Lewis came out, he was going to go and win the race. I was like, how has he not won this race? Because I already know that Rosberg's going to win it. He came out for his pit stop, was flying, and he just couldn't get the job done, could he?
Yeah, he was a bit, well, a bit unlucky. He's a bit, yeah, probably not the right word for me.
Did his team screw him over?
Well, I don't think he did, because as I was watching the live sector times, I'm a bit sad like that. and I sort of looked.
One of us needs to. I sort of looked
across to us watching my dad and went, oh, purple sector. I thought this is quite strange for how old these tyres were. And then it sort of made sense at the time, probably to keep him out for an extra lap. And I think Mercedes said they didn't have enough time. They still need a little more time. Unfortunately, as we now know, that hammer time can only last a lap.
Hammer time is very short-lived.
So I don't think it's Mercedes' fault. I think it's just he was pushing, and sometimes these things happen in sport when you push.
Yeah, which is fair enough. Then when he came out, he was all over the back of Nico, wasn't he? He was closing in, and you thought, well, they'll just overtake him here. So are we going to credit Nico for a cracking drive at keeping him at bay?
I don't know, it's tough, really, because I think they're very evenly matched the whole race. And it was always going to take something special for Hamilton to get past. But there wasn't really a big move that Rosberg actually had to block. There was no major defensive driving from him. He just decided, if I speed up a bit, then he'll go faster himself, you know. And that's obviously, it's common sense. Faster you go, less chance of someone overtaking. But that just seemed to be what he did. He kind of put his foot down a bit more from what he was going, and then put a bit more effort in.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, Nico Rosberg did win the race. He now has officially half as many wins as Lewis. Is that right?
Yeah, 5 to 10, isn't it? Yeah,
5 to 10. Yeah. Yet he can still win the championship in Abu Dhabi, thanks to the double points. I mean, it was a good reaction from Nico, considering he kind of admitted himself he didn't really turn up to whatever the race was before. It was Austin, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah,
Austin. So, I mean, however you want to malign the situation, we've got a great racing prospect now, haven't we, in Abu Dhabi?
I think, sort of, regarding Rosberg, I think I've heard a stat just before the race. I think every time he's been on pole, Hamilton's in second. Hamilton's beat him, apart from the Monaco race, which is impossible to overtake. So yeah, he needed a big result, and but yeah, now it leads on to Abu Dhabi. So I think you need, I think if it wasn't for double points, you need to win and Hamilton be sixth. Yeah. So we still have the chance to hurt him going into the last race, even without double points.
It's not just the double points.
So yeah, it just makes it a little bit easier for him.
Yeah, well, possibly. it's going to be fascinating, and we'll get properly into an Abu Dhabi preview in a bit. We should touch on Mercedes. They produced the 11th 1-2 of the season, which is a record. It beat McLaren's 1988 record previously, I think, with Prost. Yeah, is that right?
Yeah, I'm sure it's, yeah. I'm sure it's the year.
I wrote it down at the time. Yeah. Well, they beat McLaren anyway, so that's another one of their records gone. And that's really, what else can you say about that? That's as dominant as Mercedes have looked all season, really, isn't it?
Yeah, another 1-2. I mean, they've done brilliantly this year. But they could have possibly had a couple more, if you look back at Canada, for example.
Oh, he's a tough taskmaster here.
But they had reliability issues, and if they didn't have those, then they would have had 1-2s, most likely. And Belgium, especially, when Rosberg went a bit mental and crashed into Hamilton. But one thing you will say as well, back in 88, the season was shorter as well, wasn't it? So it's impressive. But then maybe I want to see more.
You want to see more. Okay, well, well done, of course, to Mercedes. Job well done, I think.
Mm. You can't... Because it was quite close in qualifying. Williams were quite close to them on the Saturday, but I was looking at the time now, they finished 41 seconds ahead of Massa. So just their race pace was, yeah, just good. Just, yeah, can't be touched.
Untouchable. Mm. What price reliability in Abu Dhabi. Oh... Okay, let's have some EDP F1 pit stops. We mentioned them a moment ago, Kyle, or you did. Williams, Felipe Massa on the podium in Brazil. What a treat, hey? That is a treat.
It was, yeah, it's good for the local fans. It was, yeah, quite an eventful race. The I just mentioned the 41 seconds, but that was due to part of that was due to the 5 second pit stop penalty for driving too quickly in the pit lane. It was 8 kilometres too much.
And then he went under the limit, didn't he, to try and catch it up. I don't think it's an average speed check, Felipe, sadly.
And then he had his little trip into the McLaren pit box, which was, to be fair, was I can see why he done it. Both completely white kits.
Glaring sun. And Rob Smedley was kicking himself, wasn't he? Because he'd wanted to take into account all the possible issues they would have over the weekend, and he didn't consider the fact that they'd moved pit garages, presumably. Yeah. I think they'd moved one up.
And so, I mean, other people have done it recently.
Lewis.
Button done it as well. I think it's a Red Bull one, didn't he? Which I don't understand how he even got through.
Oh dear.
It was good. It was a good race, and he just seems pretty damn good around Interlagos. He's just got a good record around there, and just seems to be as he takes full advantage of the home crowd.
Happy memories for him, because he was a kid there watching the guys do their stuff when he was a lot younger. Obviously, Valtteri Bottas was nowhere near it though, was he? Which I suppose puts Massa's performance into context. I think it's out of the points, wasn't he, Valtteri?
He's got points.
Just got a point in the end.
He had his seatbelt trouble, didn't he? That
which was
a bit strange. Yeah.
A bit worrying.
Yeah.
Just tie on these up, it'll be fine.
He just seemed to struggle, really. He sort of, I mean, over the year, he's been the better Williams driver. He didn't seem to have the pace this weekend. So.
It was just one off, I suppose.
Mm. Yeah, you would have thought so. He's been really impressive, Bottas, all year. But to be honest, it was quite nice seeing Massa beat his teammate and put a bit of a show being in Brazil as well, because obviously the fans there love him and everything, so it's also good to see that. But I mean, for the Constructors' Championship, I don't think it made too much difference for Williams with Bottas 10th, but at least it's a point. But they probably would have hoped they could have got a few more for it if there wasn't, you know, the troubles that they did actually have on race day, like you said, with the seatbelts and everything. So
how is the Constructors' Championship looking beneath Mercedes? Because obviously Mercedes are absolutely flying, but then there must be a little bit of a battle, isn't there, below?
Red Bull have pretty much got second guaranteed. And they're 120-odd points ahead of Williams. And Ferrari are 44 points behind Williams. Yeah. So maybe the double points, they've got a chance. But it all seems pretty settled, really.
It does, doesn't it?
So Ferrari are 40 points behind Williams. McLaren are 50 points behind Ferrari. So.
And Force India tailed off, because they were ahead of McLaren for a long time when they were. McLaren have clawed it back. Mm. Touching on Red Bull, Daniel Ricciardo, as you have to mention, and have to call him, his run ended. He had a lengthy point scoring run. So is that where, do we consider that he's had quite a lucky season, and that he's able to be, you know, the cars worked for him, and that's that? Because, I mean, Seb has probably had more of the reliability issues this season.
Yeah, many would argue that he probably probably was coming after a bit of luck over his championship winning years. And maybe Ricciardo got Vettel's luck this year. So this is a bit unlucky. Ricciardo, the first race in Australia, he had his podium taken away, didn't he, for fuel flow issues. Looking over the season, he's been in the top eight every race since Malaysia, so consistency's been there. He's always like I said, he's been there when Mercedes have messed it up. He's been the one to take advantage, hasn't he? So.
And he's been some cracking overtakes and all sorts of you know, bits and pieces over the season, hasn't he? So I suppose it was quite a funny thing that went wrong with the car as well, wasn't it? The suspension kind of popped. And
yeah, that was a bit... That was very odd. He thought it was a puncture, I think, over the radio.
Or
saying.
Brakes. It was brake issue. Brakes,
yeah.
That, wasn't it?
Yeah. And you could definitely see as he was driving around that the wheel wasn't right. But it's not until I saw the replay that I saw, oh, the suspension's gone.
Yeah, just flicked, didn't it?
And I don't know if the team knew what it was straight away either, because they seemed to take the tyre off and have a look all around. And then he would just say, no, it's definitely gone.
Yeah.
And then I think they kind of realised, oh, it's a suspension. And that's not something that very often happens. And he's quite lucky because obviously they're going high speed all the time. But if that was going into a corner or something, you don't know what could have happened. And you could have, you know, straight off. And yes, at least the car wasn't damaged and he was okay as well.
Yeah.
There's no accident caused.
No, absolutely, indeed. Let's stop off at McLaren, shall we? Because Jenson Button, he had a pretty good, well, very good race. In fact, he's had a couple of very good races.
Yeah, he has.
Maybe it's the hunger, Kyle. Is it the hunger? Because we did have a bit of news this week, didn't we? That Fernando, well, this came out on Monday morning, I'm afraid, Richard. Monday morning, I'll just clarify that now. Fernando Alonso, it sort of emanated from Autosport, I think.
Yeah.
Or nowhere from his mouth, from the man himself, but that apparently Fernando had signed his deal at McLaren and will be racing there next year. Done?
As the Autosport is saying, yeah. Deal is done.
So it's quite timely, I suppose, for Jensen to show what he can do if his teammate is still up for grabs. Is it?
I don't know, really. Because he seems... When the strong rumours came out, probably about a month ago, Jensen seemed a bit grumpy, which isn't normal.
No.
Isn't normal Jensen. He's quite a jolly chap. But the last couple, he's been in a really good mood. So I don't know if he's got something planned outside of Formula 1. And that's already done, and he's happy with that. But I don't think he needs to show what he can do. I mean, he's a world champion at the end of the day, isn't he? And he's proved over... 14, 15 years he's been in it, that he showed what he can do. It's a tough decision for McLaren, I think the points, he's quite a way ahead of Magnussen in the points, but then do they see Magnussen as good enough to keep for the future,
keep building,
and he probably is a cheaper option. Yeah, it's a tough decision.
Yeah, it's an interesting one with Kevin, I suppose, because he is young. It's his first season at this level. He didn't race in GP2 last year, did he?
No, he's in the Renault.
Yeah, so it's a bit of a bigger gap jump, similar to Valtteri Bottas, I suppose. Mm. It took him a little while to get comfortable.
Mm. He's impressed, nonetheless, though, Magnussen. I think he's almost a raw talent of a driver. He's got the speed there and the pace. There's just a few things. Obviously, there's been a few little accidents he's been involved in, like a few little investigations here and there, but I mean, if he was teammates, for example, if he was with Alonso at McLaren, Alonso is that kind of character who could speak to him, give him tips, and really build him up. And he could, you know, be I'd say next 5 years he could be world champion if he was given the good car. But I still like to see Button there. It's hard because Button's obviously probably past the peak of his career, I'd say, without disrespect to him, but Magnussen's still got a long way to go. And just looking at the points, it's, you know, in the title, Button's on 106, Magnussen's on 55. So, I mean, even if Magnussen won the last race and Button didn't finish, he still wouldn't finish above him in the championship. So, it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah.
But of course, Mark Webber, I think, put out on Twitter something like...
A couple of tweets, yeah, he did, yeah.
Come to, sports cars or something, something like that.
Come join me. But... You know, that could be the sort of thing that, with hindsight, when it's all announced, you go, oh, yeah, they both knew what was going on.
Yeah.
Or they could have just been joking, I suppose. Could work one way or the other. The thing about Jensen, though, is he 34?
Yes.
34?
Yeah.
And I think Damon Hill said that he was 33 when he...
Started.
When he started in Formula 1. So, you know, surely he's got years to develop. But the only thing is, I suppose you could see him and Fernando Alonso as... You know, similar finished articles, whereas you can work on Kevin, and the difference between two drivers might be a better dynamic.
Yeah, so the argument for Button is that he had a good relationship with Honda, obviously, before. The engine's going to need a lot of developing. McLaren are sort of rebuilding in a way, so Yeah, it's just...
Does Ron rate him, though? That's the problem, I suppose. Is it Ron's...
Yeah.
Ron's decision.
Or is it Honda's decision? Because I'm still... Yeah. I still can't believe that Ron Dennis wants Fernando Alonso in his team.
No, that is true, actually.
But, because Magnussen's come through the McLaren, he's a young McLaren driver. I think it's just how much they rate Magnussen, really. If they see Magnussen as a future world champion, they've probably got to go for him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a tough one, really. But then they got Van Dorn coming through.
There's always another one coming through.
Yeah. I even saw a rumour that Carlos Sainz Jr.
Yeah.
Over the weekend. Could be, like, Spanish sponsorship come in and stuff. But I thought, yeah. So, could be more names. Thanks. But hopefully we'll hear something this week, because I think Button deserves to know.
Before his race,
yeah, before his final race. And we don't want to, yeah.
That will be interesting, because I suppose they have a habit of doing it after the final race, do they, once everything's done, or?
Yeah, I think rumours are that they will make a decision this week, but it depends if they make the decision public, I suppose.
Yeah.
So Button might know, but like I say, it might not be public.
Mm.
But you'll be able to tell if at the end of the race, if he finishes the race anyway, and still driving around, you'll probably see him pulling off onto the runoff areas, waving to the crowd and doing a few donuts. I wouldn't be surprised if it was his last race.
I still think he'd like to know, definitely. Well, one thing that happened in Brazil, there was a Fernando Alonso, Kimi Raikkonen battle momentarily. Thank God, because we've been waiting all season for that and just seen nothing of it. And for the first time, they're actually racing each other.
There's so much build-up at the start of the season. Sounds as the best partnership in Formula 1 for years. Is this going to be one that's going to really go well? Is it going to be, you know, like a Senna Prost thing? But in the end, nothing's really sparked from it. And until the penultimate race, when actually anything's happened between them.
It's basically over.
Yeah.
I can't see him and Seb. Which presumably will get confirmed at some point. Kimi and Seb might go drinking together. I don't know what they'll be like racing each other. We'll have to see.
That was quite interesting. Martin Brundle's commentary, and he's mentioning that if Alonso was going to be at Ferrari next year, would they have ordered Kimi to move over to let him buy? Because they were on different strategies. I think Kimi done a two-stop and Alonso done a three-stop. So, but as he's going, did they just say, stuff you, Fernando, you know? Make your own way, Ferrari. Yeah. I don't think they would have made any difference. I don't think they caught anybody further up. But, yeah, it's quite interesting, really. Especially as what Fernando's history of sort of team orders at Ferrari.
Yes.
Well, it happened to Raikkonen at Lotus as well, didn't it? He was leaving for Ferrari.
Mm.
And Grosjean was coming up and it was just, Kimi, get out of the way.
I'm not going anywhere. Yeah, he wasn't going anywhere. Okay, let's have some of the weekends, shall we, gents? I've not put any down. So I'm going to wing this a little bit, but who wants to start the bidding for driver of the weekend? Are we going to go for the obvious candidate?
Well, I was going to say Rosberg, because he was first in everything. He won the race, first in qualifying, and he topped all the practice sessions as well, I think. So
he did, yeah. Mm. He dominated the lot.
Yeah, I have to go Rosberg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With honourable mention for Felipe.
Yeah, and Jensen. For his fourth as well.
There you go. Look, there's lots of honourable mentions. How about Goat? Who really mucked up?
Well, I wrote a few things down because obviously it wasn't
perfect. Nice to see someone coming with notes.
It wasn't a perfect weekend for a lot of people. So Hamilton, for example, on his in lap, he swam into.
He did.
And it lost him the lead.
It's interesting because you say that the tyres went, but ultimately it was his mistake, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
If it had been Rosberg, he'd have said he bottled it.
It's true, yeah. Because he did say that they asked him to change the setting and then he forgot to change his brake balance.
He's going to need to get that right in Abu Dhabi.
He wasn't perfect. He had his spin, and then Massa, of course, had his shenanigans in the pit lane. And Sauber, again, didn't get any points. But the one I've highlighted the most was the weather people.
Oh, I loved this.
For reporting rain.
It didn't even look like raining. That was the best bit. The race started. I was like, this isn't going to rain.
It didn't rain all weekend, I don't think.
No.
Even out of the race times and practice sessions, it was just dry the whole time. And I was just like, cheers, weather.
Well, you did trust the weather report. You did trust the weather report. Team?
Another 1-2 Mercedes.
Yeah.
Highlight. I liked, and I think this got mentioned by Alan McNeish, which was Sebastian Vettel's overtake around the outside, I think, like of Fernando Alonso. think it was of Alonso, on a really, it was on the outside of a real high-speed turn. I can't remember where it was now, but it was very impressive. There was that. I suppose the Felipe Massa on the podium. I'm having quite a Felipe Massa loving. That was a lot of fun. It's those sort of things are quite special, I think, the reaction to that.
It was good to see Massa up there. But the one I put down, we had Steve say about the cameraman the other day for nearly missing the Hamilton-Rosberg fight. But this time I'm going to credit him with the highlight because the camera angle, they had the camera on the pivot, as I think it was Verne overtaking Perez. And you could see Verne from behind and then follow him all the way around.
Yeah, that was brilliant, wasn't it?
And at high speed, you could see the car bouncing around and see how it was all working. It's like, wow, look at that. I loved that.
Good call. That's brilliant. Yeah, I'll take that.
I think my highlight was probably the battle between Hamilton and Rosberg, really. Just, you know, championships on the line and using the DRS for, 15, 20 laps?
Yeah.
It was just lap after lap after lap. And, yeah, it's just the tension building up.
We didn't get anything like that last year, so we can't take it for granted. I see you got noted down Sauber as well. Was that because no one seems to know who's driving for them next year? Because that is quite a hilarious situation, isn't it?
It's just a bit of a shambles. I mean, they've still not got any points this season, so constructors next year, if they get the money together, are in it, which it looks like they are. But they're going to be way down on money to what they were the last few years. But like you say, there's no one who they really know who's driving. And there was reports of Ericsson they've signed, but there was talks of contract deals with Sutil or something, wasn't there? And it looked like they had four drivers pretty much. And
I think they're now saying Nasser and Ericsson will drive for him, but
yeah.
Van der Gaard did have a contract apparently.
He wasn't happy, was he?
He seemed very confident early in the year. I think when who was announced? Coming announced a little while ago. He said, he tweeted him saying, "I'm looking forward to racing you next year. It'll be good to race again or whatever." He finds out.
I think he's quite a confident fellow.
Yeah. Guido. So you got Sutil, and him had contracts, and then you had Gutierrez has been chucked out. It's Sorokin. That's all. Died down, hasn't it?
He was about 12.
and the young lady as well. I can't remember her name now.
Alice Powell.
Yeah, she was linked.
Alice Powell. She was also linked with Caterham. She's also being linked with Caterham, which is a subject we'll be coming on to as well. Mm. So, interesting time. Interesting times at Sauber. Here is an interesting one. A point that hasn't really come up. Marussia are ahead of Sauber in the constructors' championships. Caterham aren't, but Marussia haven't completed the full calendar. So is there an argument where, well, Sauber have at least completed the calendar in the season, should they not be put ahead of Marussia in the standings?
Because isn't there like a dispensation that you're allowed to miss 3 races, I believe.
Okay.
But then they're technically sort of withdrawn. Are they withdrawn from the championship? I don't know.
Was that dispensation given to the teams? Then I suppose that was why they were allowed to not turn up.
I suppose so. But it's just then, apparently, even if they finish ninth, that money won't be distributed between the other teams, which, well, from what I heard, but you never know what's coming out of Formula 1 at the moment, it seems.
Bernie's just going to pocket the money, I think, probably. I'm joking. Clearly, that's not a serious allegation, obviously. There's all sorts of conversations we could have about Bernie Eccleston's comments at the moment, but I think we'll leave that for now. Okay, let's have a look forward then briefly to Abu Dhabi. Are we looking forward to it? Because you know these are great, aren't they? Championship deciding races. It's going to be so tense. I mean, for all the Mickey Mouse stuff that maybe goes around it, it's going to be brilliant.
Yes, obviously there's a lot of gimmicks with double points. And then I was speaking to a friend today, and he said about the gimmicks. You know, you've got Kurs, which was brought in DRS and everything, so it's not literally raw racing anymore. But at the end of the day, we've got a final race showdown between two top drivers, and I suppose it's what Abu Dhabi wanted when they signed up for being on the calendar, as they got in 2010, I think it was, wasn't it? And, 2010, I can't remember much of it, apart from I wasn't very happy at the end because Vettel won. But hopefully this time it'll be switched around and I can be happy when it finishes and we'll have another British champion for the first time in about 5 years.
Yeah, quite. It's not the best track, really, is it? That's the slightly annoying thing.
No,
it would be so good if it was in Brazil.
Yeah, because as I said before, you know, title size in Brazil, something happens. But yeah, I think it's just going to be, I think it's just the tension. I would love to be in the Mercedes pits. Oh, just the,
well, the pressure on them to get both cars around, isn't it? That, that basically, that is their job, to not have the championship decided by a faulty suspension or anything.
And the pit crew as well, the pressure on them, it could be, just immense. Because Mercedes as a team ideally want a 1-2 every race. So in reality, they want Lewis Hamilton to win, don't they? Because they want a 1-2.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, just be interesting, like qualifying sessions. I mean, Rosberg, in a way, he's got nothing to lose. He's got to go out and be
quick. I was going to say, in terms of pressure, no one's really expecting him to win it now. No. And to be honest, there's a bit in the back of my head that keeps niggling me going, I don't know. I wonder if Nico's going to just do this. If there's something, because you're so up in the lap of the gods.
Mm. And just how does Hamilton take it? You know, does he safety first in qualifying? Does he just, you know, accept second place and follow him around? Or?
He said in interviews I read, he's ready to win. So, and being a racing driver, it's rare that you're going to go out and say, I mean, Prost, they said, always did just enough to so he could win overall. Mm. But other than that, who is there really who you know who's going to go out and say, all right, I'm happy to take second because it's going to get me the championship?
Yeah, especially if you're fighting for a championship.
Yeah.
Alan Prost is probably the only one.
That's easy to say, isn't it? But when you're actually, when he's in qualifying, even like the first session, just to get through, he's probably going to take it a little bit easier. Even practice, you know, he doesn't want to smash his car up, that, you know, smashes into a barrier, there could be a gearbox change, and just always in the back of his mind, he's going to be safety first.
I mean, on Mercedes in the pit stops, are they going to deliberately take their time to make sure that everything's done properly?
Mm.
And just say,
yeah, tone it down, just tune it down to get it through.
But you know, it's Hamilton say, well, you know, take an extra half second, make sure that wheel nut's on, you know, just.
please. Well, it's going to be fascinating. I mean, I normally ask the question most important weekend for, but I don't think there's really any point in this at this time. I think we know who it's going to be. So I've told you my inklings. I have a weird, to be honest, the whole second half of the season, I thought, well, Lewis, or even when he was mile behind, I thought, I still think Lewis will win this. Until this point now, where suddenly I'm like, I might just go against him. What do you reckon?
I've had a theory all season because of the double points. I've had this theory that whoever's trailing into the final race will go ahead and win, because double points will have such a massive impact and it'll all switch rounds. I'm hoping it doesn't, being British and being a Hamilton fan. But that's my theory I've kind of had all season. It's just a fear of what's going to happen, because if that happens, you're going to be so angry. It's just like, what?
What do you reckon?
I kind of got the feeling that we've been so worried about double points.
It'll be irrelevant.
Yeah, we're fine.
which is how it should be, I suppose. Yeah. I mean, the way I've been thinking about it is actually it's just the points for two races in one, isn't it?
Yeah.
We should have a 20 race calendar, because that's what they want. We've only got 19, so it's just that.
I wouldn't mind if they said the last three or four races double points.
No,
that's what Bernie wanted.
At least make it less of a lottery, and you know, a bit of a sort of title showdown towards the end.
Well, that's what they do in superbikes, isn't it?
And that works quite well, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
Yeah,
it does.
Maybe they should just have a points reverse. So you get, for being 10th, you get 25 points, and going back towards first, who gets one? Because then you've got to try and position your car. You're not allowed to stop. You've got to go at some speed.
Oh my goodness me!
Imagine how that.
I don't think they get it done in 2 hours. The interesting thing on qualifying, I think I saw something on the Formula One show on Sky that suggested that other TV shows are available. Because that if Lewis does qualify second on the grid, or Nico, whoever does, you can still end up leading. If you get a good enough start away, because that was basically what Seb did, I think, last year. So
I think it'll be interesting to see, from Mercedes' point of view, their gap they think they have to, say, Williams. Probably Williams may be the strongest second team, to see how easy they can sort of play it. If Williams are pushing them, that sort of creates a whole different thing, doesn't it? You know?
Yeah.
And which side of the grid is the pole position? Does anyone know?
But it was last year.
Sort of quick.
Yeah, because it's
a bit of nothing first corner, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
But then with that, if you're in the second, you've got the inside line.
Yeah, I think that was the thing. If you hang it, if you're in there enough around the first corner, you actually end up on the inside line of the proper first major braking zone. And then you're on the inside. So if you can just stay.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
We will be very interesting. I can't wait.
Of course, Hamilton knows he's ahead in the championship. He's always said he likes Senna and admires to be like him. Could we see
I love this. Stroud, player fly straight. What a way to win a championship.
Well, he asked his dad, didn't he, at the end of the F1 coverage on Sky, and he said, no, he won't. He wants to win it the proper way. But
I think he's that kind of state, that kind of mental state where he's like, all right, I'm not going to take it out, because not his, like, with the stewards, anyway, they'll probably take away all his points and and find him that or something. But
I
was going to say, it'd be interesting for Rosberg. Say if he is second on the grid and he gets, what's his decision making going to be in the first corner? Is he going to say, I need to make it now? Because Abu Dhabi isn't the easiest track to overtake. Is he saying, I've got to make this decision now, I've got to make a move? Or, yeah. And does Hamilton, if he is pole, does he sort of take it easy, give Rosberg room just in case he gets a little front wing to his rear?
Well, I was going to say, he's already, maybe Spa was just perfecting the move for Abu Dhabi. You never know, do you?
Who'd have thought second time the stewards would have to look into it? They'd say, right, that's not, like, when the championship's on the line as well.
Racing incident, 10 place grid penalty for the next race. That would do it. It's a great thing about these situations is they bring out all the other title deciders that we've seen in the past. I know Michael Schumacher is still recovering, and he's obviously from his accident, but some of the moves he pulled out on Jacques Villeneuve, which didn't work, and the one on Damon Hill that did. I mean, I still remember those. Yeah. I mean, it's needs must, isn't it? You're angry when you see them, and it's like, this isn't right. But then, you know, if you want to win a world championship, is it not? I suppose maybe it's not the most gentlemanly way to do it, but I don't know.
I suppose it's down to the individual, I suppose. How much do they want to win, or how much do they not want to lose? Probably is the question.
How many people remember it when they say Michael Schumacher 7 times world champion? That's the thing.
Yeah.
They don't go, well, yeah, but two of them, or one of them.
Yeah.
There we go.
It's like 94, for example, he knew all he had to do was, if he finished the race, he won. If Damon Hill didn't, then he won as well. It doesn't matter. So he had that in his mind. And when he made his mistake, he thought that. And 97, I think he had to win and Villeneuve not finish or something like that. And he tried to take him out, and it backfired on him. And
yeah, that was the one, I think, that made me, wow, he did just awful. Drive into it. He's like, he almost tried twice, just bounced off.
But is that kind of character? Was it 2011 with Barrichello when he came back for Mercedes, or was it?
When he pushed Barrichello into the wall.
Yeah.
That one, yeah.
I can't remember what year, but he's that kind of character where he's gone over the line, hasn't he?
Once or twice, literally. in that case. Okay. Well, the one thing we haven't even touched on yet, Caterham will race in Abu Dhabi, thanks to their crowdsourcing fun and games, which they didn't quite raise the money they said they had to, yet they're still going to race anyway, which seemed, yeah. The cynical amongst us might suggest that, well, it didn't really matter because it was always going to be a success story in the end of it. But
yeah, because they've extended the deadline, haven't they, to the end of the race on the Sunday.
Donating.
Yeah, the current time, I think they're 82%, I think they got at the moment.
Right. That's quite a way short, really.
Yeah. And it's, from what I understand, the website is that you have to get the 100% for everybody to pay up. But I don't know, because they're selling off bits, aren't they? Selling race clothing and disc brakes and all sorts, aren't they?
Spare parts.
Meet the driver, whoever it might be. And so,
basically, I suppose if they don't get all the money, and people don't have to pledge, don't have to pay what they've pledged, then they just owe people a load of money and the thing goes bankrupt. Yeah. So it doesn't matter, I suppose. And the creditors don't get any money. And,
unless somebody's,
which is sort of horrific.
Unless somebody's paid for that injury and then they receive all
the money back.
Money. Bernie, possibly.
Well, you said it. I am quite cynical about it, but then it is what it is. And ultimately, if the whole thing comes from Formula One swindling them in the first place, which you could say they did from the very start with the non-budget cap, I don't really blame them, to be honest. And fair enough, I'm cynical, but I guess Formula One probably makes you quite cynical, given the structure of it.
It is a bit cheeky asking your fans to give you money so they can race, when, to be honest, all they're going to do is sit at the back of the grid and not produce much.
But yeah, but these people they haven't got a gun to the back of their head, have they?
It's people's money, isn't it? It's just, they can do what they...
Yeah. And I said to Carl before, actually, I want to put it out there to the listeners of the podcast for some crowdfunding for us.
So
we can have a really cool...
We need £2.4 million for this podcast to run next year.
For the last ones, we're going to have a big end of year party. down the pub.
Yeah, well, we're going to go to Monaco next year, obviously, if we get all the funding in. We're going to, if you want to buy Richard's hoodie, we'll put that on for sale, £1.2 million. One of your shirts, Carl, we'll sell that. And your Autosport magazine, probably get £20 for that. I'll sign it. Yeah, get you to sign it.
Notes, some
yeah, minutes. Yeah, exactly. I'll take a picture of all this and we'll put it on Twitter. And if we can raise the £2.4 million, then, well, yeah, we'll produce these podcasts for at least a whole season. I think that's good work, Richard. Brilliant idea. I can't believe I didn't think of that myself. Yeah, well, fair enough. We don't know who's racing for Caterham yet, do we? Well, we know that Kamui Kobayashi is. There was a suggestion maybe Max Chilton might be one of the ones in the other seat, which would be interesting.
Julian Palmer's been linked, hasn't he? Apparently, Lotta turned it down, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he turned down Monza, apparently.
Yeah.
Strange. Yeah. She also had the chat. What's it? Is it? I can't even pronounce the name. Is it Mehi or Mary?
Mary, I would say.
Yeah. He's been doing FP1 sessions, hasn't he? Yeah. So I don't know if he's.
And he's a bit like Guido van der Kar. I think he's just convinced that he's going to drive. He said he's got a contract. So.
I suppose it is a bit like. It could be one of our predictions. Who will drive?
Whoa. Well, yes, it could be. Could be. Who will drive? Well, we'll get to that.
Yeah. And Alice Powell was getting her granddad's money to do FP1, wasn't it?
Is that right?
35 grand.
I hope her granddad's loaded.
Yeah, I don't know.
I hope so. I hope that wasn't his life savings.
Three more cheap house.
Yeah, granddad's on the street now, but at least I got my FP1 run. I'm sure that wasn't the case, Alison. I'm sure there's loads of money floating around. What this does, I suppose, prove for Caterham is that they do have the fans. This was the thing I was thinking. So, you know, it kind of proves that if someone wanted to buy them and turn them into something that could work somehow, I don't know who. Coca-Cola, maybe? Someone. They can maybe make it work. Audi. Well, yeah. Someone. I don't know who that someone is.
Well, I mean, everything's there. Obviously, they've got the factory and everything they need. Obviously, some of the staff have now left, but there was also, they were saying about rehiring them if they can. And apparently there was, I did read on the BBC, I can't remember the guy's name, but one of the top guys, the team, was going to meet with a potential investor this weekend at Abu Dhabi. So it's like, was that kind of, did he say, all right, here's a bit of money on the side, come to Abu Dhabi, let's have a look at what you got, and we'll see from there or something. And I don't know, but obviously they've got everything there, you know, ready.
Yeah,
just hopefully they can get some money together and be in it for next year, because it's always good to see more cars on the grid.
Thing is, I think Caterham haven't had anyone properly funding the team. I know that there's a lot of a lot of issues with money, but no one's been properly funding that team really for probably a couple of seasons. So it would be nice if they got that. Marussia definitely not racing in Abu Dhabi. Is that official yet?
Yeah, it's official, yeah. I think the last week they said... It seemed a bit strange, though, because they said, oh, they won't race. But then Graham Nowden was interviewed in Brazil. He seemed quite confident of racing next year in some
default Formula One position. Well, yeah. We're quite confident.
And he seems like... Yeah, I mean, people were, I said, made redundant the Friday or whatever it was, and people walking out of Marussia with their boxes of stuff on the desk, and he seemed quite confident they would be there. So,
and the final thing I wanted to mention, obviously, Jules Bianchi still in hospital, stable but critical condition. Obviously, our thoughts remain with him. I think that's something that will be remembered over the last Grand Prix and over the winter, because it's obviously been a tough few weeks in the sport. Okay, then, let's have a look at these predictions then, shall we? Now, I'm a bit buoyant here because I had a cracking weekend. I had a Nico Rosberg weekend teeing up the double points at Abu Dhabi, which is now an official rule. Now, admittedly, I didn't bring this in at the start of the season, but that's just because I didn't think about it. You know, I am the Bernie of Eccleston of this podcast, and I've decided that we're going to have double points in Abu Dhabi. So what did I predicted in Brazil that it wouldn't be a wet race when all around me said it would be. Not only was that a kudos point, that was a correct prediction. Deal with that. An all Mercedes engined podium, which it was. Hülkenberg to be in the top eight, which it was. And I said that Button would be the first car out of, you know, he would be at the bottom of the race results, be it for a DNF or whatever. And sadly, he did pretty well. I can't remember who was first out. Was it? It was Roman, wasn't it? Roman Grosjean.
Was it Ricardo?
It was Ricardo.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'd have done well to get that. So that was great. It was. That was a good result for myself. Kyle, now you went big. You went for the qualifying top five and race top five. You said qualifying would be Hamilton, Rosberg, Vettel, Ricciardo, Alonso, which was Silcho. And the race would be Vettel, which I gave you a kudos point for. Hamilton in second, which got right. Rosberg, Alonso, Button. So only a few out on a couple of those, yeah. But, you know, sadly.
It's a bit of fun.
Yeah, it was a bit of fun, but he lost out. Stevie Rust, who got his days muddled up, hence why he's not here now. I expect he'll be emailing me in predictions, knowing Steve, as he is top of the tree as well. He said qualifying Mercedes 1-2, which was right. Massa would finish ahead of Bottas, which was correct. Raikkonen would exit in Q2, which wasn't right. Ricciardo podium, which was wrong. A wet race, which was wrong. And a Lotus double DNF, which was wrong, because Maldonado finished the race. And Rich, you said it would be a wet race. You said there'd be a safety car from a wet incident, but it wasn't a wet race. You said Button would be the first to pit for wets, but it wasn't a wet race. No Toro Rosso in the top 10, which you were correct. And Alonso to reveal his 2015 plans, which I've given you a kudos point for. But he did. Did story officially broke Monday morning, and yeah. It wasn't really from Alonso. Tough rules, but I have to be fair in this situation. Which basically means that Steve Rust is still absolutely miles ahead, but don't forget double points in Abu Dhabi. I am second. I've overtaken you, Kyle.
Wow.
Sorry to say. You're in third. Rich, you're in fourth. Not too far away. Double points. So, you know, this is a good opportunity. And then it's Ped fifth, John Luton sixth, DT Mav. And Sam Todd, who had a bit of a run on Twitter. Things gone quiet since, so you know, it's not as easy as it looks. We can certainly make it look hard. Who wants to go first then? We've also, by the way, just to say, we've got the championship and the drivers and constructors championship predictions to add at the end of the season too, so all nicely set up. So double points, boys, this is the big one. What are we going to go for? Who's going to go first?
I'll go first.
Go on, Kyle.
It's going to be a very straightforward weekend for Lewis Hamilton. Pole and race win, and obviously the championship. Rosberg will follow him in both qualifying and the race. Interesting ones. Third place in the race, I'll go Bottas. And to finish last, 20th, or the first one out, should we say. I'll go along with them predictions. I'm going Fernando Alonso.
Oh!
So I think he's struggling with engine miles at the moment, because he was a bit cautious in Brazil.
Okay.
I think that'll round off his years at Ferrari. Might be the first one to DNF.
I love that. That is dark. Good stuff. Happy? Done?
Yep, done, yep.
He's done. Richard?
I was nearly cheeky. I was going to say... The world champion will be a Mercedes driver, but I thought that's
we wouldn't give you that.
Yeah, so I didn't.
I think that's the only physical possibility. So that's not really a prediction.
I've been down on points, so I needed some points. But I put some out there. I'm going for three retirements in the race.
Okay.
There will be Raikkonen, Maldonado, and Gutierrez.
Okay.
Vettel will get a podium finish.
I was going to go for that one.
This sounds like a given, but technically it's not. I was going to say the race winner will be the world champion. So obviously, because there's lots of different things that can happen.
Like, no, I'll take that. So, yeah, fine, yeah.
And then I'm just going to go something a bit mad, like Toro Rosso contact at the first corner. The very first corner.
How are we going to define contact? Rubbing, bumping of wheels or bodywork coming off? you have to think about these things, because I don't want the arguments afterwards. But what are we saying? Toro Rosso's to contact each other?
Yeah. Okay. There will be
on the first corner
of the first lap.
Just that little bend?
Yes.
Okay.
They're going side by side, and then one's going to turn in on the other. Touch, spin.
So specific.
Exactly like that.
All right, if it doesn't happen like that, you're not getting the point. Okay.
Well, if I get all that right, can I get 10?
Yeah, maybe. I'll have a think about it. All right. Now I think I can somehow work out whether that happens or not. Which leaves me, doesn't it? Well, I was thinking about these before while Kyle was saying his things. I would say that Nico will win the race. I've already predicted Lewis will be the champion, and I'm not going to differ from that for now. Well, just I'm not going to differ from that. It'll be too late afterwards. I do also agree. I think Sebastian Vettel will finish on the podium as well. I think that Jenson Button will finish ahead of Kevin Magnussen, which is probably no great jump, but it'd be a nice way to finish off. And I liked the first car out thing. That was quite a bit of fun. So I think that the first car out, well, I feel like I should have said it last time and didn't, so I'll say Romain Grosjean will be the first car out. He'll be at the bottom of the results. And I want to have a Caterham one, but I can't, you know, obviously both cars are going to be at the back of the grid. Both cars are going to exit Q1. So
predict the driver.
Might rain.
Yeah, it could, might rain. So how about one of the, at least one Caterham will finish the race, will be a classified finisher. How about that? Given they've got a skeleton staff of 40,
yeah,
and they haven't run a car in about 3, 4, 5 weeks. Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. They're my double points. Happy, everyone?
Yeah.
I just want to make a prediction of the second Caterham driver. That's a bit of fun.
Go on.
Unless
he knows inside information, what do you think?
I don't
know. No, he's saying he doesn't. Go on then, give us that name.
I'm going to go Max Chilton.
If you hadn't said Max Chilton, then am I? All right, I'll give you that one. Max Chilton.
Do you have inside knowledge?
No, it wouldn't surprise me if it was Max Chilton.
Okay. I don't think. Yeah.
Would he do that to Marussia, though, knowing that?
Interesting.
Well, if they're not there.
Yeah, if he's not. Yeah.
Well, you say, well,
look after yourself, really, haven't
you? Yeah. He needs a drive for next year now, doesn't he? That's the thing. All right, then. Well done, gents. Top work, and thank you as always for your time. Much appreciated. Thank you all out there for listening and for getting in touch on Twitter. It's always great to hear from you. You can do that at EDPF1, which is the Twitter handle for the podcast and our F1 coverage at the EDP, Eastern Daily Press. Or you can get hold of me on Twitter at Michael J. Bailey. These two are also on Twitter. How about you, Rich?
Yeah, I'm at Bax_kid.
Lovely.
At Kcumbers.
And that's for Kyle. And these guys will also be blogging on our website, so you can see those things, catch up to date podcasts. And my Formula One column also goes up. That website address is www. No one says that anymore, do they? Because you don't need it anymore. But there we go. EDP24.co.uk/F1. Dead straightforward. Right then, one more race to go. Enjoy it, everyone. Enjoy the tension. I hope there is tension. And we will see you on the other side for our review of Abu Dhabi and later after that, our review of the season 2. In the meantime, have great fun. We will see you on the other side. Go on, Lewis.